Welcome to Mind Mastery and Manifestation, the number one podcast helping you rewire your mind to erase fear, unlock your greatest potential, and get the extraordinary relationships, businesses, and lives you've always wanted. We're your hosts, Dan Mendelow
and Sophie Kessler. Welcome back to the Mind Mastery and Manifestation podcast. We hope you enjoy the last few episodes. And today is going to be a special, fun little episode around happiness as a tool for success. Now, we know for a lot of you, it really is about getting and achieving and attaining a certain level of success in your life, and more importantly, to also experience a level of fulfillment with that. So what we want to share with you today is really understanding how you can utilize the emotion of happiness so that you can actually create more success in your life.
So the very first thing that we need to understand is that for most of our existence on this planet, I'm going to say as the human being, we've got this idea totally wrong. We've got completely backwards. And for most of the history of psychology, our focus has been on the wrong thing. For most of our time, and still a lot of our culture, will lead you to believe that happiness is a result. That happiness is what you get when you do things right. That happiness is what you get when you succeed, or when you get a reward, or when something good just happens to you in your life. And so you may think that if you don't have these things, that you can't have happiness, or you're not worthy of being happy. You're not good enough to be happy. And when you look at psychology, most of it focuses on what's wrong, right? So they lead you to believe that the way to becoming happy is by eliminating all of the bad stuff. And so the focus is on what's wrong and how to see what's wrong. And so it then again puts you into this achievement mindset that happiness is the end game. It's the end goal. And that is completely backwards. If you think about it right now, the most successful people on the planet, and I'm not just talking about in one area, such as the most successful people in business or the most successful people with relationships. I'm talking about the most overall successful people that are on the planet. They're all happy, aren't they? And I know what you might be thinking. Well, yes, of course they're happy. They're the most successful people. But think about it just for a second. Could it be that instead of them being happy because they're successful, that they are so successful because they found ways to be happy? And so we're going to break that down, how that works, that relationship, and then how to use it within your own life so that you can model their success.
Absolutely. So this is going to be a really, really interesting episode because, again, it's understanding. And if you have not yet listened to the previous episode on manifestation and theories, this actually is going to tie in beautifully because it really is about you being able to create a level of success in your life from living in a certain emotional state. So what we want to talk about here is understanding the different ingredients that happiness is actually made of. So I'll let Dan go ahead and take over on this piece.
Yeah, so a lot of my work as a coach is really centered on what I call the big four. These are the most healing forces that we know of. They're the most powerful forces that we know of. Anytime something has gone wrong in your life, it can be attributed to the lack of one, at least one, of the big four. And when anything goes really well in your life, it can be attributed to the presence of at least one of these big four. And happiness is composed of all of them, okay? And the beautiful thing is, if you look at our previous episodes, when we talk about vibrational frequencies, when we talk about the importance of getting yourself into a powerfully positive state, using these high vibrational frequency emotions, then you'll understand when I mention these, the true power, but we're going to go through these individually so you understand how to turn them up in your life. And so with these, when you have the big four in your life at play, you'll be able to create lasting, genuine happiness on command, no matter what is going on inside of your life. And then you'll be able to use that happiness, again, as we explained in the manifestation episode and in a lot of episodes before, you could be able to use that happiness, that change in your brain's chemistry, that change in your electromagnetic signature to create success and to create even more happiness and fulfillment and abundance of all forms. So the big four. Now, remember to approach this with a child's mind. These words have been thrown around so much in our culture, especially now that people are starting to get a little bit more into self-help and a little bit more are accepting of a little bit more woo-woo stuff. These words have been thrown around quite a bit. However, what I've seen is that most of the, air quote gurus talk about these in ways that are either inaccessible, that means that you can't connect with them, or impractical. That means, great, you talk about it, but what are you supposed to do with what they're giving you? It's sort of like people will say, you got to love your life. Okay, well, how? What does that even mean? What do you do with that? And so it's useless. So here what I'd like you to do is approach it as if you've never heard these words. We're going to give you different definitions. We're going to give you processes and tools and techniques that you can use on a day-to-day basis to have even more of these in your life, therefore creating even more happiness and everything else. And the big four are love, compassion, gratitude, and oneness. And so we're going to go through each one of these. I'm going to start off with love because I like to offer a very different view of it. First of all, I like to look at the cosmic definition of love first. Now, in the cosmic definition of love, it is a verb and it means to create life. What that means is that every living being needs love. If it can't find love, it'll either transform into a figure which it can find love or it will self-destruct. Think about what people do after a really terrible breakup. They go into usually, hopefully, a brief phase of complete self-destruction. They'll hermit, they'll stay away from their friends, they'll stop doing things that they love. They might eat too much, smoke too much, drink too much. They might do all these things. And then they'll go into a phase of, I got to work on me first, right? Hopefully they'll get into this phase, not just jump into another relationship. And they'll get into, okay, well, I've got to work on me. See, for they go through their self-destruction, and then they go into the transformation in which they can find love. And there are all sorts of different aspects of love. So let's investigate some.
So when we're thinking about love in and of itself, the best way that I like to really think about this and have people get into these emotional states is thinking about times in your life, whether it was with a person or just an experience by yourself or even in a place when you were a child, even where you felt immense love. And really think about what that feels like for you. There's different types. You have love for friends, love for parents, love for relationships, and even love for animals or whatever those things are that really you're passionate about. And as you start to think about those parts, those people, those places, or even things in your own life with yourself, how that feels. Because again, it doesn't mean that it's just a one size fits all. It could mean that the love that you feel for a friend is something so strong and so deep and you feel so connected and you care so deeply for them. And then there's also the love that you have for your significant other, where it's, again, much more probably passionate, but it's also a very, very connected sense of feeling deeply in love.
And so there's one thing that connects all of these different experiences, even though they may have different flavors, and it goes into that feeling of creating life, right? When you're with a great friend that you love, I have a lot of my friends, and I remind them every time I see them how much I love them as my friends. There's one thing that always happens. Whenever I'm around them, I feel like I've got even more energy. I could be exhausted and I'm with those friends and all of a sudden it feels, at least when I'm with them, like I've got a full night of sleep. Then we leave and I fall apart again, right? Because I'm actually exhausted. But have you ever been with someone and you suddenly forget that you're sick? Or you suddenly forget that you're hungry or thirsty or that you have problems in your life, right? It's like this person is giving you life, right? And that's what you're really seeking. And you may think, well, I haven't actually experienced love in my life. And so instead of going back to a time in which you felt this sort of formless thing that may or may not have really felt, go for that feeling. when was the last time you were hanging out or you were doing something or you were in a place or even just listening to music maybe, and you suddenly kind of forgot where you were or gave you energy, even just a little bit, made you forget about other things that were going on and allowed you to kind of lose yourself in this feeling? When was the last time you felt like something helped you create life? And then what you could do is expand on it. So when these things happen, the next time it happens, as it's happening, connect with all of the other times that something like that has happened. Expand it in your mind. Now, the gorgeous thing is that by doing this practice, you're actually hardwiring this inside of your mind. Remember that the neurons that fire together wire together. Another way of thinking about this is kind of like walking through a path in the woods. The first time you walk a path, you might make a little bit of room. Maybe you'll make an imprint in the dirt. And then the next time you walk it, it gets a little bit deeper, or maybe a little bit wider. And the more times you walk this path, the more ingrained it is until it's not just like a path through the woods. That's the preferred way to go through. That's sort of how your brain works. The more time you devote to re-experiencing this feeling of love of a friend or family or place or music or food or activity, the more times your brain will hardwire this pathway, the easier it'll be to get into it. And that way, you're kind of like hard coding love, this creation of life within your own brain.
And that really, really is a beautiful thing because, again, tying back to previous episodes, when we're talking about being able to change who you believe you are and creating the world that you want to experience outside of you, it starts with you being able to elicit the different chemical emotional states. And love, as you guys know, oxytocin is probably one of the most powerful drugs out there. Because of what it does to your chemistry, to your biology. So when you're able to elicit that chemical into your body, you start creating that emotional state within you. You start to be able to experience life from that state. And everything, in a way, almost becomes brighter and softer and sweeter and more elegant. And suddenly you start to have a lot more patience, a lot more understanding. And the next part of this, as Dan will go into in a second, compassion.
So compassion is love in action. So it's wonderful there to love what's going on within your own experience. You can love music. You can love yourself. You can love your home. Compassion is going out there and actually sharing that with someone else. And remember, again, love is to create life. I think that a lot of times we can walk around and being unaware of what we're doing, we can actually do the exact opposite. We can tear people down. We can do things that make people feel unimportant or uncared for. Compassion is the exact opposite. And if you want to look back at one of our previous episodes when we were talking about authenticity, we were talking about increasing compassion by actually sharing your vulnerable side and appreciating someone else's vulnerability. So there, what we're talking about is people connecting with each other over their struggles, connecting, letting people know what's going on within you and letting them know that you appreciate what's going on within them. And it doesn't have to be anything profound. Compassion can be a smile. It can be a hug. It could be just sitting with someone. Have you ever had that when you're feeling really crummy, feeling kind of crappy, and someone doesn't say anything, but just someone that you know, like, trust, or hey, sometimes even just a stranger can just sit there and just sit by you and just give you their energy, their warmth, just let you know, I'm not coming here to preach at you or talk at you. I'm just here to be with you. Sometimes that's all we need. Compassion could be loaning a stranger a dollar because they didn't have enough to pay the meter or buy the cup of coffee or whatever, right? It could be just going out and just seeing someone who's not having a good day and give them a compliment. Tell them something funny. Give them some of your time, right? Because there, in each one of these cases, that person will get even more energy out of it. They'll feel even better. You're going to help them up their vibes. You're going to be helping them create life.
And from that place, things really do start to become a lot more, the word I want to use is magical. It really is understanding that as you start to have more compassion for other people, you'll start to find that more people start to have compassion for you. And in being able to be compassionate, living from a place of love, you start to find new opportunities, new possibilities where you can create not just the love and the emotions, but actually you can create the experience and a level of success that you were never able to achieve before. So as you start to connect, not just with yourself, but also with others, you start to tap into this word that I love called collaboration, co-creation, and possibility, where you're able to start creating with others the reality that you want to experience in life, in business, in wealth, in finances, in relationships, and you start to experience that level of success, which then leads us into the next point, where you can start to feel unbelievable gratitude.
So I call gratitude the gateway discipline. So we have gateways and other things, but it's usually referred to as a negative thing. We've got gateway drugs. Well, gratitude is like the gateway drug of the spiritual world, because within the big four, all of them are connected. So one usually leads to another. For example, feeling compassion for someone else heals both of you and helps both of you feel even greater love. But it doesn't always go that way. The moment you feel gratitude, all the rest of the big four happen at the same time. And that's why I think it's so important for people to learn how to use gratitude correctly. But I'm going to say it, I think most people do it wrong. I learned how to do it wrong the first time. I think most people who talk about it incompletely. And it leads people to give up on gratitude. It has a complete inverse effect, because what will happen there is that people will say, wake up, and the first thing you do is list 10 things you're grateful for. Now, I teach gratitude in a lot of my workshops, almost all of them, because that's how much I believe in it. I've ingrained it into my own body that sometimes I perform gratitude processes without even realizing it. And I'll start laughing hysterically like a freaking maniac when I realize how blessed I really am, even when things are going wrong in my life. So every workshop I ask, okay, how many people have tried this? You wake up every day, write 10 things you're grateful for. And I ask, okay, well, how many days have you gone doing this? You know what the average is that I've seen at every single event that I teach is? 3 days. 3 freaking days. That's it. How can you change your life with that? And it's because it's missing a special component. It's missing why, right? And I believe we've gone over this on a different episode. So we're just going to get in this real quick. That the question is why. Ask yourself, why are you grateful, right? Thinking, I'm grateful that it's sunny outside. Why am I grateful that it's sunny outside? And I'll get a different answer. And I ask, why am I grateful for that? And then I get a different answer. I say, why am I grateful for that? And really, we're looking for the emotion. As we've expressed in so many different episodes, the emotion is what you're after. Without the emotion, it's just a list of things and you'll get bored with it. But when you get into that powerful feeling of gratitude, that can change your entire day. That can change your entire life if it becomes a real habit.
And this is how, again, the more and more that you do this, the more that you start to integrate all of these emotions, you are able to really experience a sense of wholeness, or in other words, what Dan likes to refer to as oneness.
Yeah, so oneness is a sense of wholeness that's even greater than you. And it starts with, yes, you being one integrated person, absolutely. But then realizing that we're not cosmic brothers and sisters. We are not cosmic family. We're the same. I view the world, and this is super duper spiritual, but this is actually how I see the world. And everything that I've seen has just been evidence of that, obviously, because I have a confirmation bias. But I see us all as different aspects of one singular cosmic organism in the constant state of re-identification. That our purpose, everybody's searching for the meaning of life, I believe that the meaning of our lives is to love this existence, is to appreciate everything that we see as different aspects of ourselves. And that's the spiritual version of oneness. Psychological version of oneness is to simply state that we project ourselves onto everybody else. And because the reality that you experience is not actual reality, it's the reality that you've created for yourself, your projection onto someone else creates them within your own mind. So what you experience of me speaking right now is actually more a process that you've created within your own heart and mind than it is a process that I've created for you. And so what that means is that everything that you've seen inside someone else, everything that you hear coming from someone else is actually a projection of you. And so everybody you see is a mirror of you, who you've been, who you are, or who you're going to be. And that gives us this great cosmic sense of belonging that is unbelievable, because when we look at when things go wrong inside of our lives, there's usually a sense of separation. If there is not actual separation, there's the feeling of separation. Because, hey, you can be inside of a crowded room and feel completely alone. But it's that separation that causes a lot of distress, a lot of sickness, war. It causes fights. It causes death. It causes everything. Separation in babies. You know that when babies don't get physical love for long enough, they can spontaneously die, even if they're completely healthy. That's how important it is to feel that love, that compassion, that oneness, that connection. On the other hand, think about hanging out with people who love you, people who make you feel like you're part of a whole. Isn't it amazing how much you can heal just from that? How much your body physically can heal? You can get energy from that feeling of connection. That all of a sudden your problems can seem a lot smaller than they used to. The oneness is so unbelievably healing that if we're going for cosmic definitions again, here's how the big four work. So gratitude kicks it off. That's the gateway discipline. It starts off, which is one of the reasons why I love believing in miracles and blessings. I don't care if they're real, because the moment that you experience a miracle or a blessing, the very first thing that happens is the overwhelming sense of gratitude. And so gratitude can heal you. Gratitude, by the way, also completely overwhelms stress, anxiety, all sorts of things that happen for the fight or flight response get wiped out by gratitude. So we lead in with gratitude. Gratitude allows us to feel love. You know, when you're really feeling gratitude, you feel that. You start feeling that love for yourself, love for your life, love for existence, love for other people, love for what's going on, right? And so you get all these great feelings. And so immediately your electromagnetic signature turns up. You become even brighter. Your message gets sent out even stronger. And so the next natural progression is to then want to share it. That's just natural. It's just what happens. You feel all this love. You've got to share it, right? That's compassion, love in action. And love grows when it's shared. It grows. You have even more of it when you give it away. And compassion heals both you and the person that you're sharing it with. That connects you even more. And that gives you the outcome. If love is to create life, oneness is what happens when it is fully created. Oneness is sort of the outcome, the end goal, the full appreciation of you at one with yourself and the rest of reality.
And this is where we can really start to bridge that gap between our inner world and our outer world. Because as Dan brought up previously, everything outside of you, if you choose to believe this, is a projection of what you're experiencing inside of you. And one of my bigger mentors who helped me really have a massive transition and shift in the way that I was thinking, and I think we've talked about this in previous episodes, is that whenever something triggers you, right, imagine as though it's like rubbing a shirt against a wooden desk. And as long as that wooden desk is smooth, it's not going to do anything. The shirt's just going to slide right on by. But if there's a nail sticking out, right, or a piece of the desk that's chipped off, you're going to get your shirt snagged on that desk. And in life, it's very much the same way. When we're not healed in a certain area of life, right, and there's some nail or some pain there, and there's a wound there, and somebody comes by and they just kind of gently rub against it, we're going to get triggered. And ironically, the majority of the time, it has nothing to do with the other person or the event or anything in that aspect. But we like to project and say, well, it's them. In actuality, they're presenting the opportunity for you to heal something within yourself. And that's the beauty of it, is recognizing and realizing that as you start to smooth out all of your edges, as you start to heal all of these wounds, as you start to do the inner work, you're going to experience a very different outer world, because it'll be equal to your emotional, your magnetic, your electric frequency.
Now, we talked a little bit about how to create happiness within you. We've talked a little bit about why it has an impact on the world around you. Let's talk about how it relates to success. So there's a field called positive psychology, in which those studying it focus on the impacts of feeling positive emotions. And there was a researcher by the name of Losada who studied business groups. And what Losada wanted to know was what made business groups effective or ineffective. And there were so many different variables that were being studied. You know, everything from who's in it, to ages, to time spent, to topic, to every possible conceivable thing, even colors in the room. And there was one variable above all others that made a difference. And it made a significant difference time and time again, reliably. And that was the ratio of positive thoughts and expressions to negative ones. And groups started functioning well when that ratio was 3 positives to every 1 negative, which, by the way, this is seen and is an accepted ratio in marketing, that people pay attention to negatives 3 times more potently than positives. That's why a lot of the time you see negative marketing about what's going wrong. And so Losada also found out that when the ratio doubles, when it goes 6 positives to every 1 negative, they get into super productivity. That's when they really hit their peak. So here you can see that a group that has been able to create happiness first for their members has the greatest chance of being the most successful time and time again.
So as you guys are saying, it really is understanding that there actually is a science behind this and how influential having these tools and being able to create and elicit these states from within yourself can really help increase your productivity, your efficiency, and help you really create the level of success and fulfillment in your life that you really want to achieve.
Yeah, well, I mean, think about it. When do you do better work? When you're happy or when you're super stressed out? Or when you're happy or when you're sad? When is your creativity flowing the most? Now, I know you could say that, yeah, artists, great artists, write better, they play better when they're really upset. Okay, but think about what happens when they play. There is a sense of love for what they're doing that they're feeling in that moment. They might be letting out all of the darkness that's within them, but they're healing in that moment. They're feeling even better. And they may feel oneness with the audience. They may feel love for their music. They may feel compassion for other people. And they may feel gratitude for their opportunity to do it. So they're actually getting themselves into higher vibes, even though they're singing different kinds of music or painting different kinds of paintings, right? So you got to look inside of the brain and realize that your brain was actually meant to work in positive ways. We are optimally efficient when we are in love. That has been studied over and over again. Your hormones balance out. You produce even more dopamine, serotonin, testosterone, especially for men, but also for women, right? And oxytocin. All these things are important for us to open up our channels of creativity, of balance, strategy. It eliminates the stress response, because remember, and you go back, we had an episode on stress, that it will shut things down. But when we are in love, it's almost impossible to be stressed out in the same time. So when you work on these different components of happiness, love, compassion, gratitude, and oneness, you'll see that they actually create all of the components, all the resources you need in order to kick butt in whatever you're doing, whether it's your business, whether it's creating amazing relationships, whether it's trying to be healthy. I mean, hey, is it easier to stick to a diet when you're sad or when you're happy? Simple, right? And so you've had these experiences in your life, and now you know how to create that happiness and know that, yeah, it's scientifically, I can't say proven because we can't really ever prove anything. but it's strongly suggested that happiness is actually an ingredient to success, then success is an ingredient of happiness.
So powerful. And it really is so, so true as you think about it. The reason why you want that level of success, if you're really to dig into it, is because you believe it's going to get you a certain level of happiness. So if we start reverse engineering this and starting to create that level of happiness inside of you, where you can then become much more productive, much more efficient, and actually start to attract the people, opportunities, and places, then you will be able to create a much more eloquent level of success in your life in a much more efficient way.
So let's get into a way that you can create even more happiness within your life and actually train your brain to feel even more happiness. Now, in order to really fully explain this to you, I need to give you a little bit of background. How did we find out that this can even work in the first place? So there was an experiment done with people playing Tetris in which they had people playing Tetris for 9 hours a day for 3 days straight. And what they found out is that after the quote unquote experiment was over, really the experiment started at that point, when people left, they continued to play Tetris in their mind. So when they were on the road, they saw in their minds, well, you know, if I move this bus over here, this truck over here, this car right over there, we can all move up. Or they opened up their fridge and rearranged their fridge so everything fit perfectly with itself. So they have dreams about Tetris. So what that showed us is that we can train the brain to think in a certain way and to perform certain functions even when we don't consciously direct it in that way. So my question first is, what have you been training your brain to do? Are you training your brain to feel happy or something else? Well, here's a way to flip that script if it's been something else. So every day, you can either write down a list for yourself, or even more powerfully, you can sit with a partner, and you're going to list 3 things that you've noticed in the last 24 hours that have been positive, things that have made you even happier, or things that have made you feel any one of the big 4, love, compassion, gratitude, or oneness. So you have a lot of options here. You write 3 things, and then get emotional. So don't just list them, right? You're going to go in, why did it make you feel good? Why did it make you feel that love, compassion, gratitude, or oneness? Go down until you find that emotion, because that emotion is going to sink it into your neurology. It's going to strengthen the path. And if you have to ask, why did it make me feel good? Why did that make me feel good? Why did that make me feel good a couple of times? It's totally worth it. That's why you only need 3. If you do it correctly, you only need 3 each time. Now, the thing is that this works because you have a couple of rules. If you're writing this out for yourself, then you must pick 3 new things every day. So you can't just write 3 things, same things over and over and over again. You're going to get bored. So eventually, you're going to get to a point where all the gimmies, the easy ones, have already been written down. And you're going to have to, because, hey, you committed to doing this every night, right? You're going to have to find some new things. So you're going to spend the next day looking for things that you can write down that night. Doesn't that sound like 9 hours of playing Tetris? You're going to be, maybe even more, looking at it all day. And especially if you're really into it, you're going to want to find some good stuff for yourself, right? You're not going to half-ass your own transformation. So you're going to look around and think, well, how about that? You know, that felt good. That feel, can I write this down? I'm going to need to find something even better. How about this? Oh, a little twinge of love. Is that, I'm going to find something even better, right? And so you're looking now, and now you're getting competitive with yourself, looking for even more, looking for even more, looking for even more, training your brain, training your brain, training your brain. Now, if you're working with someone else, something gorgeous will happen, is eventually your partner is going to give you a really freaking good answer. Something that rocks you, like, ooh, wow, all right, I got to come correct tomorrow, right? I got to find something that's going to wow them back. And so you're going to spend all day looking for it. And the more you do this, the more time you spend looking, seeking, creating. Remember, because if you seek enough, your brain will simply create it for you. You'll end up finding in one way or another things that will make you feel even more love, compassion, gratitude, oneness, happiness. And so eventually it'll become a completely unconscious process. You will just do it. And then you'll be able to use that happiness. You'll be able to turn all of those good vibes, all of that beautiful chemistry, all of that wonderful manifestation energy onto your goals. And you'll be able to use happiness for success.
And that, friends, is how you are able to create a massive level of success in your life through happiness. So thank you guys so, so much for joining us again on this episode. And again, please take the time to utilize this strategy, utilize these tools that we're teaching you, and share with us. We love, love, love hearing how much of an impact and how much of an influence this is having and the magic that you're able to create. So until next time, have an amazing day, guys.
Bye, guys.